morning, church. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord. And I just love following Dwayne when he has devotions. I just appreciate Dwayne all that. I just love following you with devotion. I'll just put it that way. You're simple. You keep things where we can understand what you're saying, and it's easy to know where your heart is, and that's awesome. As I was doing my devotions this week, I ran across a passage in Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 17 and following. It says, "Ah, Lord, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. You show love to thousands, but bring the punishment for the father's sins into the laps of their children after them. And, O great and powerful God, whose name is the Lord Almighty, great are your purposes and mighty are your deeds. Your eyes are open to all the ways of men. You reward everyone according to his conduct and as his deeds deserve." So we serve a great and mighty God. And is there anything too hard for him to do? You pray with me. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Thank you, Father, that your arm is not too short. And you know you have enough strength for all of the things that we bring to you, Father. There's nothing too hard for you, and we thank you, Father, for that. Day where we are, I think in every family across the church, we see heartache and problems and things arise that we can't do by ourselves. And so, Father, we thank you that we can rely on you, that you're trustworthy, and that you're always there for us. Father, today I lift up Matt and Chris and Chris's family, Lord, as they've lost Granny. Janet is banged up. We just ask for her healing, Father. And we just ask you also, Lord, to just give peace, comfort where it's needed. Father, show us how to minister to them this week and to bring them comfort and peace as well as they are part of the body here. Lord, just have your way in their hearts. Minds. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as I read those verses, I thought of a little song that we used to sing, and many of you may know it. I actually had to look it up in King James because that's the way I learned it, the song. And I'd like, if you know it, sing it with me. I'm going to try to sing it for you this morning. But it's a little. The easiest way for me to memorize a verse is through song. So that's why this one has been a part of my life for a long time. I don't know when I learned it, but I know that it's been in my heart for a long time. So if you would just sing this with me. It's, "All Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. All Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in power, mighty indeed. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee." All right, let's try it. "Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee, great and mighty God, great in power, mighty indeed. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee." All right, you haven't memorized yet? You want to sing it again? We may sing it again when we close. But that's just a little tune that I've just known it for a long time, and many times during the week I have to think of that there's really nothing that's too difficult for the Father. You know, we go through some things that we struggle with as humans. You can't do them by yourself, you know. And that's what Paul said many times. He would talk about his inadequacies and how he would, because he couldn't do it, the Lord made him strong in those situations. He said, in my weakness, I am strong because of God. And that's why I appreciated Dwayne's introduction this morning. It is, we have to trust in God, don't we? We can take anything to him all the time. In Luke chapter 1, I just want to look at a few verses here. Verses 26 through 38. This is actually the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And when you think about something that's really hard, this obviously was going to be a hard thing for Mary. But let's just begin there in 26. It says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, I'm sure that this is probably the first time an angel ever came to Mary. And so she was probably a little bit disturbed. A little bit on edge, because how do you know, unless you've seen angels, how do you know that it is an angel? How do you know it's not just somebody trying to play a trick on you? How do you know when you hear God's voice? How do you know when an angel is present? And it says in verse 29 that Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are going to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." There it says it again. Is anything too hard for God? And I've entitled the message today, "Nothing is too hard." If you want to put a title up there, "Nothing is too hard." And he has shown this over and over in Scripture. This is just one little example. And I like the way that Mary answered. She said, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. So this was a situation where Mary didn't know the angel. She didn't know what was going on. It troubled her at the greeting that the angel brought. She was scared of it. But then the angel went on and told her, "Don't be afraid. I bring you great tidings." And Mary listened. That's, for me, that's going to be hard. If an angel comes to me, I'm going to have trouble. Because I have never seen an angel. I've never heard one. I've talked to people who have seen angels. So I know they're around. I know it because of the Word. The Word says there's lots of angels around that watch over us, help to take care of us during the day. They do many things for us. that we don't know about. How about the scripture that says, be careful to entertain strangers because you might be entertaining angels unaware? So there are angels around that we need to be aware of. I just want to see them. I want to see angels. I want to be able to participate in that. It would be exciting to be able to do that. And the other example that I thought of that I'm going to share with you today is the story of Noah. When you think about what Noah did, and how I think about how hard that would be, because I'm a builder and I usually have plans that I build from, or blueprints, if you want to call them that, something that I can see the dimensions of what it's supposed to be. Well, when God called Noah, if you want to kind of follow along, I'm going to tell the story as I know it, because I think it'll be easier for you to comprehend and understand, and you can read it yourself. And it's found in, Genesis 6 through 9, those three or four chapters there, is the story of Noah. Well, the story of Noah begins with it says that Noah was a righteous man. God chose him because of his righteousness, because he walked with God. He loved the Lord with all of his heart, and he wanted to do what God wanted him to. And so God came to Noah, and he said, I need you to build me a boat, or an ark, he called it. And he said, I need it to be 450 feet long. I don't know how long our building is. Probably 150. And so that would be three times the length of this. 75 feet wide, which is huge. I don't know the width of this either. And 45 feet high. So this boat is going to be huge. And I don't know why Noah didn't just say right then, why in the world do you want me to build you a boat that big? Where I am, there's no water around. There's no rivers. There's no ocean close to us here. Why do we need to build a boat? And God told him, he said, I've seen how wretched man has become. I've seen how evil that he is, and his imaginings are so awful that he said, I just feel like I have to destroy everything that is living and start over, and I want to start over with your family. Imagine being that guy. Okay, here he is. He's in the middle of dry land, and there's evil people all around him. Okay, Noah is 500 years old. I'll just go to that. He's 500 years old. His father lived to be 700 and some, so that was not an old age at that time. Can't imagine living that long. But he said after the flood, he said, I'm going to make it so that man only lives 120 years. I'm not sure why they changed that, but they did. God changed it at that point. He said, after the flood, he said, man's life age will only be 120 years. That's close to what it is now. It doesn't get that old, but probably average 70, 75 now is probably our average lifespan now. I didn't look it up on Google or anything because I don't know how to do that. But I would say that's close to the average right now. But, okay, Noah was 500 years old, so he started to build the ark. He had three boys. They were just born when God came to him. So as they were growing up, they probably helped their dad build the ark. And he still told him what kind of wood to use. I think it was cypress. He said, build it out of cypress wood. And when you get up to the top, he said to put a window 18 inches from the top. When you finish the top of the boat, put a window up there so light can come in. So I think Becky and Verlton are the only two that... And has anybody been to see the ark down in Kentucky? Besides, okay, some of you have seen it. Is there windows at the top all the way across, or just one little window? Okay, all the way across. So he finished it with a window, and that's what it says in my account here, that he finished the top of the boat with a window, put a boat, thing in the window. The thing that really, that I struggle with is how in the world, because he told him, he said, bring two of every kind of animal into the boat. Of unclean animals, bring two, but of every clean animal, bring seven, I believe he said, male and female. So I thought, how is he going to get all these guys together and bring them into the boat? That sounds like an awful struggle to me, because think about, you guys that are deer hunters, think about getting a buck and a doe deer located and brought together to bring into a boat. It ain't happening, is it? It is not going to happen. I mean, even to see a buck and a doe at the same time is rare. But, okay, you've got deer, you've got antelope, you've got elk and buffalo, and you can just think of all the different types of animals. I was a dairy farmer, and there's seven different kinds of dairy cattle. There's how many different kinds of beef? There's... Okay, he said, I'll bring all the creatures that crawl on the earth. So you've got the little bugs and creatures, and you got to get all them, bring them in. So after Noah got the ark built, the Lord came to him and he told him, he said, I need for you to prepare now to, 1 week from now, he said, we're going to close up the ark. You're going to begin your journey. And he said, so, okay, here's what happened. It says the animals started coming to the boat. Two by two, and so on, they came to the boat. Noah didn't have to go after them. He didn't have to round them up. But God brought them in. He brought the animals in two by two, male and female. All the bugs and creatures and crawly things he brought into the boat. And so they were in the boat, in the ark. After a week then, it said that God closed the door. So apparently there's some kind of a door in the side of the boat. If they built it according to the scriptures, probably like a drawbridge, I think of. They just lowered down a flap and the animals walked in and God closed it and they were shut up in there. So, when, after God had shut the boat up, it began to rain. He said, I'm going to have it rain for 40 days and 40 nights. We kind of flip out if it rains for one day and one night, don't we? Starts flooding things, and we can't get out of our driveway because the creeks clear up over it. And so, imagine it raining for 40 days and 40 nights. And this wasn't just rain from heaven, guys. He said, it said he opened up the floodgates of springs and stuff, because before this there was no rain. The earth was watered from the ground. So he made dew and springs and stuff like that that watered the ground. And so he opened that up as well. So water's not only coming in from underneath, but it's coming down from above. It's raining like, well, I would say cats and dogs. You know how you think it's raining really hard? It was raining. 40 days and 40 nights. It rained. It said it rained and rained and rained until even the mountaintops were covered by 20 feet of water. So, is anything too hard for God? He had it raining for 40 days and 40 nights. And then it said the earth was flooded and they were in the boat for 150 days before the floods even started to recede. So it took them, it rained for over a month, and then they're in the boat for 150 days. So we're up to about 6 months of time already. They entered the ark, it said the second day, or the 17th day of the second month. So February 17th, they entered the ark. And then after it rained then for the 40 days and 40 nights, for like 6 months they're here and it's raining or it's flooding. Now, Noah's thinking about it's going to be pretty soon time that we can get out of here. So, because I can't even imagine securing enough food for that many animals, having all of the right kinds of foods, God had to take care of all of that. Let him know what kind of foods he needed for every kind of animal. Some of them are meat eaters, some of them are vegetarians, and so on. You know, you've got. So, do you have to bring an extra bunch of animals for the ones who are eating meat? How'd they do all that? God took care of all that. Noah didn't have to worry about it. So, it says after they were in the boat and the waters began to recede, I think first he sent out a raven. Anybody remember if that's that right? Raven? I think he sent a raven out first and said the raven was gone for a while. I don't remember how long. And came back because he couldn't find any place to rest. So he came back to the boat. So by that, Noah knew it's not time yet. There's no place for us to get out on dry land yet. So eventually another week went by and he sent out a dove. The dove went out and couldn't find anything. So it came back. And then he sent another dove out, and a week later, and it actually came back with an olive leaf. No, the first one did. The second one went out and stayed. That's the way it was. So when the second one went out and stayed, then the ark rested, it says, on Mount Ararat. So it floated around for all these months, and finally it rested on top of a mountain. So, how tall are the mountains? 14,000? I don't know what part of the world that the ark was in at that time. Probably in Europe somewhere, I suppose. And there's some high mountains over there as well. So the mountains were covered with 20 feet of water, so the boat rested on one of the mountains. The water still had to recede clear down into the valley. So imagine having 14,000 feet of water to get rid of. It's got to dry up. It has to go somewhere. And so finally, the water recedes and goes down, and so it's just about a little over a year later, on February the 27th, God said, come out of the ark, bring your wives and your sons and their wives and come out of the ark. Bring the animals out. And he opened the door and let them out. So they began to reproduce on the earth again. It was just his family now. That's all that's left. Everything else was destroyed. You remember the story. And so as I thought of the story of Noah, I thought, is anything at all hard for God? And I had to answer that it's not. So I found a little story in one of Patsy's devotionals. It says, sunlight glittered on the swimming pool in front of me. I overheard an instructor speaking to a student who had been in the water for quite a while. He said, it looks like you're getting tired. When you're exhausted and in deep water, try the survival float. Certain situations in life require us to spend our mental, physical, or emotional energy in a way that we can't sustain. David described a time when his enemies were threatening him and he felt the emotional weight of their anger. He needed to escape the distress that he was experiencing. As he processed his feelings, he found a way to rest. In his troubled thoughts, he said, cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. And that's found in Psalms 55:22. He recognized that God supports us if we dare to release our problems to Him. We don't have to take charge of every situation and try to craft the outcome. That's exhausting. God is in control of every aspect of our life. Instead of trying to do everything on your own or in your own effort, we can find rest in God. Sometimes it's as simple as asking Him to handle our problems. Then we can pause, relax, and enjoy the knowledge that He is sustaining us. We just have to give them to Him. Sometimes that's a little hard. We people who want to do it ourselves, we want to do it our way. Well, guys, our way is not best. We need to do it His way. So as we give our problems to Him, He's able to take care of them. And the neat thing that God did with Noah after He got him out of the ark is He put a rainbow up in the sky. And He said, the rainbow is going to be a covenant between Me and your family and everyone after you that I will never wipe out the world again with a flood. All of mankind will never be wiped out at one time with a flood. So I always think about that covenant that God made with Noah and with us, that He's not going to wipe us out as a race, as a world anymore at one time. You would wonder about it when you see the sin and everything that's prevalent, wouldn't you? But He said He just made that covenant. He never said, I will establish My covenant. This is in 9:11. I will establish My covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the whole world. So we can be confident in our God. Know that He has us in the palm of His hand. That He's in control of everything that we do if we'll let Him control our lives. So as our praise team comes and brings us the final song, if there's anything you'd like us to pray with you about, we would love to do that. Remember to pray for Matt's family this week, Matt and Chris, and for the rest of her family as they gather around the funeral and stuff for Granny. And also pray for Janet's health, that she'll be able to get out of the hospital and feel better so that she can, because she is the executor taking care of things, so that would be Chris's mom. What's the name again? Wilma Pritchard. Wilma Pritchard is Granny. So they haven't set up any kind of hours yet for calling hours, so we don't know any of that yet. So we'll let you know as that comes to us, and so that we can all take part in that and be around the family and take care of them.